Welcome to Fabulous After 50, the podcast for women wanting to make the most of their lives. My name is Julie Kennedy, and I am your host. Today, I am delighted to welcome Nicole Beisler, award-winning keynote speaker I was lucky enough to meet via the Global Woman Organization a few years ago, who after years in business, in sales and account management, launched her own business as change management and continuous improvement expert. Welcome, Nicole. Can you start by giving us a quick rundown on who you are, what you do, and why you do?
First of all, thank you, Julie, for having me. It's a great pleasure to be here. Where I am, what I'm doing, well, it's, if you look at my CV, you see thousands of things what I've done. And originally, I'm from Germany, raised and born there, but now living in Spain. People looking at my life and thinking, whoa, she's having it all. But it wasn't like that. And that's exactly what I'm doing at the moment. Helping people who looking from the outside, high professional, having it all, but at the end of the day, empty inside.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to support and trying to help, because that's what I went through.
Indeed. Thank you. Thank you for that. And I so admire the openness of breaking through that image that people sometimes have, that indeed you have it all. You worked very hard. You climbed the corporate ladder. You had like an international career, lovely houses, family, and all the rest. But that inside you did feel empty, and then you crashed all the way down and then used your journey back up to learn and to arrive at a level which is a lot more sustainable and inner driven, I would imagine. And it's wonderful to hear people who then, as we were saying before we started, you know, instead of taking all the mishaps in life and making us bitter and resentful and feeling disempowered, to actually say, okay, I welcome this because it's actually taken me to a new degree of self-awareness, of happiness, of inner peace, and to then choose to share that with others. So indeed, we're going to be talking about burnout to energy. Maybe we start with how this all came about.
Make a long story short, in 2011, I already was at the edge of a burnout. Looking back, I would say there was one. I, at that time, was really down. I felt out of energy, sleepless nights, etc., etc. At that time, I had a child, yes. I wasn't married. I just, I had a partnership. I was out of two marriages, and right. I decided I would never, ever in my life marry again.
Yes.
Which had changed in 2020, being honest. At that time, yes, I worked corporate. I had, at that time, I had a job for free, let's say.
Right.
Because two of my colleagues resigned and I had to take over right. the responsibilities of them. I was tired. And I had a very good doctor at that time. He said, look, you need to go and have a run, or you go on a bike ride, or you go for a walk. You really have to do something for yourself and right. not only for your work. I don't know. Suddenly the idea came up, I could do a sabbatical. So I went 3 months to Peru, worked in an orphanage.
Oh.
And at that time, let's say my journey started already.
Right.
I didn't realize it at that time. And you know that, Julie, that's quite often that we don't know in times where we encounter some new things, we don't realize that this will be a game changer over the years.
Yes.
But looking back now, that was my start of the spiritual journey, let's yes. say. I learned a lot there. I met amazing people, but moreover, what I learned was it's not about the money.
Yeah.
It's not about the status. It's about you,
yeah.
as a human being, and nothing else. And this so touched my heart that I even quit my job when I returned.
Wow. After wow.
Weeks, months, you know, I felt, no, I need to go in a different way and need to find something else and whatever. Well,
isn't life wonderful? You just needed that break and chose Peru, right? Yeah. I mean, I'm just back from Chile, so I can totally resonate with what you're saying. Yes. There is something very special there indeed, yeah, in the people, in their way of seeing life. And as you mentioned the word spirituality, there is that different dimension to what gives purpose and meaning. Definitely. To us as human beings. And then again, as you say, that these things in life sometimes seem totally unrelated and random and all of that, but at some point there's, you know, whether it's destiny or whatever we want to believe in it, that these things are all happening for a reason, including the bad moments, right? You would not have gone to Peru and discovered that if you had not been on the verge of a burnout.
And we all energy, you know, yeah. A lot of people I'm meeting who are not really like, you know, that spiritual, and they say, oh yeah, you know, if you want to believe that, fine, you know, yes, and yes. I'm fine with that. But what I'm always saying, you know, we are energy. And you don't see electricity. You put your light on, you switch it on, and it's there. And you believe it's working.
That's
so
right.
And that's just a different way of seeing it.
And sometimes the most important things in life are the invisible ones. Well, what is the most important thing for us is breathing. You know, you don't see air.
That's true. Absolutely.
Without that, we're dead. So yeah, so I mean, I'm always looking when I interview my guests, I'm always looking for, you know, nuggets of wisdom that I can share. And I would say that already, without it being intentional, from what you've just said, I'm hearing you also say that if you feel that something is really not going well, like, okay, you had your career, you were doing super well, you know, loads of money, you could afford whatever you wanted, etc., were recognized in your field, etc., but you felt there was something wrong, and then your body started telling you there was something wrong, which is how a burnout works. But then you did have the courage to say, okay, I'm going to go on a sabbatical. You know, you weren't then deciding to throw it all away, or, you know, to give it all up and go for something else. If your whole gut and instinct and all that is saying, I need a break, take it. And it doesn't really matter, you know, follow your heart. Where do you want to go? Just do it. You know, working in an orphanage in Peru was probably not, you know, something that was part of your career plan. It's just something that you thought of doing, and to just trust that there is some reason in all of that, right?
Definitely. And you said something very profound. It's trust your gut. Mm. Just listen to your heart. And I couldn't say why it was Peru, or, you know, it was just like, it feels right.
Let's do it.
You know, so I just went. I was scared. Because that's a question I'm getting a couple of times, you know. Oh, weren't you scared? You go in a completely foreign country. You don't even speak the language.
Right.
So how? And I said, honestly, I didn't realize until I was really sitting at the gate.
Yes.
So I was working until the last day, more or less, you know. And then I was sitting at the gate and I was like, gosh,
what am I doing?
Anything about that country? Why the hell did I pick that country? And, you know, and then really a conversation I had with a very good friend of mine where I shared, you know, my concerns. And he said, so, Nicole, what could happen?
Right.
You know, when you sense after a week or even after a month, it's not your piece of cake, you just book a ticket and you come home. Oh yeah, he's right. You know, we always think we take a decision and we have to stick with it.
True.
For the end of your life. Yeah. And it's not that, you know, it's like try and error. Yeah. And I'm not saying you should hop from that to that to that.
No.
You have, you know, a vision or whatever. But when you realize what you picked and what decision you made, it doesn't make sense in the long run. Just change it.
Right. Well, I'm going to turn around and say, well, I find that particularly profound as well, because that is so true. So many of us then decide on something and feel that whether it's right or wrong, we have to stick to the end. I had an interesting conversation with somebody about books the other day. And I always said, I have this rule, whether I like the book or not, I read it till the end, even if it's really costing me. And she said, why on earth would you do that? You know, there are so many wonderful things to read. You know, if that one doesn't relate to you. And I was really thinking, you know, I've got to do this. I always said, at the worst, I will take this book as an example to not what to do when I write my books. but at some point I thought, but he's right. You know, what is this sort of stubbornness to say, either we don't want to be seen as being weak, you know, as changing from one goal to another. And you also said it yourself, you know, you'd said, I'm never going to marry again. And hey, the right one came along. And it's actually changing our decision is actually a proof of strength and not of weakness.
Absolutely.
Because we're taking all the rest in, you know, we change every day. So obviously a decision that we might have made in 2015 doesn't have to be hard the whole life. We change, the people we meet change. And that takes strength and courage. Definitely. And what you were saying right now as well is that willingness to accept a bit of fear and discomfort and walk outside your comfort zone. Because if we stay in our comfort zone, we're not going to discover anything new, because we know our comfort zone. That's why it's comfortable, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And that definitely brings me to my real burnout, you know?
Right.
Or I would say, well, my therapist said, well, Nicole, burnout? No. You haven't seen the red flags. You straight away rushed into severe depression.
Right.
And I was like, oh, okay, when I got that. And that was in 2020. And I didn't see it coming. At that time, I lived already in Spain.
Right.
And I had a very, you know, very good job. I was leading an integration. We bought our company I used to work for, that bought for 1.9 billion, our competitor, and I had to lead the integration for our division. And it was great. I loved it. It was a challenge. It was really a challenge. I had fear, would I make it?
Yeah.
If I'm able to do it, et cetera, et cetera. But I took the risk, you know. I said, well, that's an opportunity. Even if I don't know, you know, if I'm capable of doing that, that's a great opportunity, because I was longing for living in Spain since years, because we bought our house in 2015, 16, and I got this opportunity end of 18. And I thought, well, that's my chance, you know, that's it. I'm taking it, even if I'm, you know, kind of afraid that I wouldn't reach the expectations or whatever. Actually, I would say, looking back, I overachieved.
Right.
Even if you just look at the numbers, but I'm not a number person, you know. I look at the relationships what I've built and the way people felt welcomed in the company. You know, they came from a family owned company, going now in a FTSE 100 British company, total different work style, etc. And I took them smoothly over. And so all the relationship what we built was really a success. So I was there and I looked at my life and I thought, well, that's great. You know, I'm traveling a lot. I have everything. I have a lovely husband. You know, I have a lovely family. Everything is great. And then COVID hit.
Right.
And completely everything crushed down. And that's something I really, when I looked at the situation all over the world, in the beginning, no one was talking about the mental health related to COVID.
Right. Yeah.
And that really pissed me off, because, sorry, my friend,
no.
Because it really was like, I had this kind of stressful full conversations every day because the people were suffering with all the restrictions, with all the completely change of working and all the, the insecurity. You know, all that stuff. And on top of that, I used to travel to see the people face to face. I worked face to face. And suddenly everything was only, you know, via Teams or Zoom or whatever you use. And that's a different way of working.
Yeah. Especially when you're fragile, right? Especially when it's the human connection and the sort of the anchors and the balance which are missing.
And I think it's also the personality, you know, you mentioned earlier, you stick to something and you keep it and you go till the end. And I'm the same, you know, I was like, no, okay, we are in that situation now, let's do it and we make it. And I didn't realize and I didn't really listen to my body that this cost a ton of energy all day long.
So how did you recognize the symptoms? I'm thinking of, you know, members in the audience who are listening to you and thinking, you know, they're feeling that maybe that might be happening to them. I mean, what was your, since your brain wasn't listening, you were sticking to your plan and doing what you'd said you would do. So what was your body saying?
I couldn't sleep.
Right.
I woke up several times a night, which is totally unusual for me because I'm a very good sleeper. You know, I go to bed 2 minutes later, I fall asleep. And the next thing I realize is my alarm clock in the morning. Or maybe once, you know, where maybe you have to go to the loo.
But yes, exactly.
Exactly. But that's really uncommon for me as well. And it started gradually where, you know, it's this kind of smooth process. And you end at the end of the day at a point where you think, wait a minute, when was the last time where I really slept through all the night?
Right.
And not really like waking up and fall asleep straight away. No, it was really waking up and then, oh yeah, well, I can't fall asleep and what will happen tomorrow? And, you know, this kind of spiral.
Your brain is spiraling, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. So that was, I think that was one of the first things I realized. But, and that's something for your audience as well. You know, take action when you realize something like that.
Yeah.
I didn't. I thought, well, you know, I'm just a bit stressed. Okay, fine.
See that again as a sign of weakness, right? We don't want to think that we're not coping. We don't want to think that it's too much for us.
Absolutely. You're so damn right, Julie. You don't want to say, hey, I need help.
Right.
You know? So I didn't, I thought, well, yeah, it will go away. And then the next symptom was that I had constantly headaches. And when I say constantly, I mean constantly, day by day by day. I'm not that type of person taking pills. So I'm just coping with it.
Yes.
You know, I'm not, oh no, I'm not taking a paracetamol. It will go away. And then the next one was every now and then means every second week, more or less, I started with migraines.
Right. One step. Oh, goodness.
And really, my gut was upside down. I couldn't really say, well, okay, that's normal consistency, you know.
Right,
and
right.
At that time, I thought, okay, well, maybe because 2014, yes, 13 or 14, I had cancer. I had a tumor at my gut. And since my gut went upside down, I thought, maybe. Yeah.
Right. That was the flag for you. That was the flag. Yeah. Okay.
But it was really, you know, I was already down the line at that time.
And so is that then when you went to see someone?
Yes. That's when I went to the doctor. And he said, well, honestly, we can make all checkups. That's not a problem, Nicole. But I believe this is a mental problem. I took it in. I mean, obviously I listened, but I didn't believe. I went home and I thought, no, that's certainly something from my body.
Yeah.
But if you really think about, you know, how your body reacts, it's always when your soul is out of order. Your soul is telling the body to react. So even though it would have been really a tumor or body condition, convinced, it would still be related to work and all the mental things I had in my head. So yeah, and it took a while. I mean, at that time, it was May, June 2020. Finding a therapist in Germany, it was just horrible. Yeah. It wasn't easy. And I found one, and there I was already down the line. I was on sick leave. I couldn't work anymore because I was in a meeting in July, and that was my absolute red flag. So I was in a meeting, and my colleague was just nice. He was listening and, you know, asking how I feel and what the work situation is. And I crashed.
You just cut.
I start crying in a professional meeting.
Right.
And that was something I was like, right, I need help.
Right.
So I was straight away calling my doctor and I said, look, I think I need help. And he said, I knew that back in May already because I was only.
But you needed to be aware of it. I mean, if you don't believe it, you're not going to go for whatever it is, right?
Exactly. It's you. You have to put the work in. You have to accept that you are at a point where you need help. Yeah. It's not someone else is telling you. And that's exactly what he said to me when I returned to his office. You know, he said, I saw it in May. And I was just one and a half week off sick leave in May. And that was in July then.
Yeah.
And he said, I saw it, but you wouldn't have taken the action.
So what actions did you take? So you went to see him and he said, you stop work or you stopped work immediately. And because you went on a whole holistic journey, but was this self-led or was this via your doctor?
It was self-led at the end of the day. Because, and that's something I really want to give to your audience as well. Listen to your body, listen to your heart, and find out what your body really needs. Because, I mean, obviously he said, I need to see a therapist, which took a while to find one. And I started, I think, in October with that. But in the meantime, I went through like a manic, the way I worked, the way I put into my personal health.
Business plan there. There was a business plan with goals and achievements.
Yes, exactly. So I really started, you know, to look into, okay, what kind of amino acids would I need? What kind of vitamins do I need, et cetera, et cetera. So I went through a lot of blood tests, with which my doctor said, well, that's nuts. And I said, I don't care, you know, I pay for it. So you just do it.
Right.
No, I want to know it. And I'm definitely not taking any of your pills or whatever. I'm not, because I know that there are a lot of side effects and I'm having to deal with a lot of effects at the moment.
Right. So you okay. Right.
So I did everything what was related to that. On that way, I started to, well, I couldn't do sports, but I did some walks, I did some journaling, and I really started the journey into my inner self.
Right.
And really, I found wounds which I thought they are long healed.
Right.
But they weren't. Mm. Being honest, I just pushed them away.
Yeah.
The same way I did. Oh, there's a headache. No, you know.
I can recognize a lot of this.
Yeah. And I thought it's time to look at it.
Right.
And now I can say I'm so, so grateful that all that happened.
Yeah.
I found out a lot about myself. I found out a lot about my, how I grew up and everything. And definitely, I now know what is needed to be self-centered, self-aware, and really, to take your life step by step, not, you know, like in a rush. Life is not a sprint. Right. Life is a marathon. So you have to take it really from kilometer to kilometer. What is now? You know, you feel not well at the moment. Okay, let's look into it. Right. What is it?
And so you've taken all of that wisdom and experience and knowledge that you've accumulated on that self journey. And you've then, you didn't go back to corporate, right? You now have your own company where you run this program from burnout to energy.
Yes.
Wow.
That's what I mean, it was also a journey because everyone was saying, well, you know, that's a well-paid job. Yeah, in COVID. You couldn't just leave it and so on. And I thought, no, my soul is screaming. Yeah. Yeah. And I was really asking myself, what has this corporate job to do with the agenda of my soul?
Yeah. Oh, soul's agenda. What a term. Okay, right. How you've got to where you are is a very exceptional and inspiring and motivational story. And I do hope that a lot of my audience out there, even in different degrees, maybe they're not as high on the corporate, maybe they're not so lost, etc., but that they hear what you're saying right now. We will talk about your coaching program rapidly, but I always like my sessions to have three ready to use tips. I mean, you've probably mentioned them a bit here, but if we recap, what, let's say, three tips could you give the audience if they feel things are too much, you maybe haven't yet recognized the burnout or think it might just be on its way, you haven't made any steps, but you're feeling overrun. Well, what are the three things that you would say you have taken as golden nuggets out of your personal journey?
The first is really reach out for help.
Yeah.
You know, really, no, that's the second.
Okay.
Sorry. The first is listen to your body.
Yeah,
because listen. Your body is really telling you, hey, look at me. I'm not functioning the way you used to see me. So I need your help.
Right.
When you realize that, really reach out for help. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you see a therapist or doctor. You can see a coach.
Yeah.
You can book my program.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm saying, look, if you have a burnout, come to me. No, that's already too late.
Yeah.
I'm looking for the people who are really, you know, feeling, oh, that's something not right.
Yes, I like that. I saw that on your text, preventive coaching, you said.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah. And I mean, I see that this has been a recurring line. I read one of your articles as well, 7 Reasons Why Happiness is an Inside Job. I thought it's also extremely good. So you're recognizing that along the way, there have been lots of signs towards this. So, okay, listen to your body, reach out for whatever sort of help you need.
Yeah. And that's not only for people who are feeling tired, you know, or overwhelmed or whatever. That's also something for everyone. Don't listen to the naysayers and nor listen to your own thoughts. Sometimes our mind is just playing games with us.
Yeah.
What helped me a lot is really to, when I'm in a situation, and that still happens because life is an upside down, it's not like, oh yeah, it's going all smoothly now. No, there's always a time where you're maybe not in that good mood.
Yeah.
What always helps is to say, it's just a thought. You can think something else.
Oh, that's beautiful. And that is so true. We think that our thoughts are reality, that they lead us. Well, sadly, we're going to have to stop now. I mean, you are, please come back, because I feel we've only just started to touch. You know, we've set the stage, and I thank you greatly for having the honesty and authenticity to share all of that with us and to show how you can change and how these obstacles and how the hardships have actually helped you reach your balance, because it is all about balance. It's not about the dizzying heights of success or the terrible lows of despair. It's about finding that balance. And as you say, life is active. Life goes up, it goes down. There are good, there are bad. But if you listen and you learn about it, then you have that knowledge to rebalance, to reharmonize your life. And I very much thank you for what you've shared today.
Thank you so much for Julie for having me. It was a pleasure.
Well, I hope this is the first of very many. Now to the rest of you out there, it's time to take on board what Nicole has shared with us and maybe take a little look at your life. Are you listening to what your body's saying? Are you listening to when your mind says, no, don't worry, just get on with it, etc.? Or are you also daring listen to, as Nicole said, the voice of your soul? When we know something's wrong, listen to it. It doesn't mean we have to give in to despair. It means that we need to take action of some sort. So Nicole's first tip was indeed to listen to your body, to reach out. If your body is saying something wrong here, reach out. You can start by seeing your GP to check. I mean, we are 50 plus, so to check whether there's any, you know, physical things which need to be looked at. But if it continues further than that, it's a pretty clear sign that your soul is in despair and is using your body because your mind is not listening to it. Don't listen to the naysayers, to people who say to you, oh, come on, mind over matter, or to your own restricting ideas about just get on with it, etc. Let that voice, that deep inner gut voice, speak to you and listen to it. And indeed, I loved the parting one as well about thoughts. Thoughts are thoughts. And that's all there is to it. And you can change a thought, a negative thought, you can change it into a positive thought. Have a lovely week, all of you, and looking forward to seeing you soon. Thank you for listening. Now it is up to you to make it happen. Join me next week for another dose of empowering vitamins as we navigate the marvelous roller coaster we call life. Subscribe and let me know what you think we should be talking about. Take care out there.